Thy name. Jesus proved his great wealth of love. Day when all sin and fear is cast down, we fear no more. We welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today at the Lindsay Street Primitive Baptist Church. We appreciate your presence and the effort that you've made to arise from your beds of slumber and dress up and come out to worship with us today. We have a couple of cards we'd like to read to the church. And of course, most of you know that we lost Brother Clyde Haynes, and we will sorely miss Brother Clyde. And every time I look right there, I'll miss him from there on. He's a faithful member and a man that loved the gospel and loved the Lord, and we just can't replace people like that. We have a card from his family. Sister Mabel is here, and I believe this is Kathy with her, one of her daughters, and they're faithfully staying with her so far. And they have placed the flowers here in the church today in memory of Brother Clyde. And they're beautiful, and we certainly appreciate that. The Lord had a very potent comment about flowers when he said that Solomon, in all of his glory, was never arrayed like the lily of the valley. And so that's why they're so much admired, especially by believers, is that they show the intricate handiwork of our Lord in his creation. Says, "Dear church family, thank you so much for the beautiful spray. Clyde loved each and every one of you. Please keep me in your prayers. Love, Mabel and Haynes family." And we certainly intend to do that, Sister Mabel. We have another card from Sister Janie over here. Sister Janie Haney. She, as most of you know, has had a mastectomy. So she was discovered with cancer here a short while ago, and we have some very good news concerning that. The doctor thinks that he got it all, and not more than a 10% chance that it might come back. So that's very good. I told her, I said, we probably all got it. That kind of a chance of having cancer. It seems like we, all of us with, what is it, three trillion cells in the human body, and each one of them has a potential for a mutation any time to change, become cancerous. So that's a pretty strong likelihood, opportunity for something to go wrong. And when we were welcoming folks a while ago, I forgot to mention that Miss Sadie Young just moved here from Pennsylvania and said that she just thought she'd stop by. She's not familiar with the Primitive Baptist Church, but we hope that she'll feel like she's at home among friends while she's visiting with us here today. I want to thank everyone for this concern, prayers, calls, cards, and visits. The doctor gave me a good report, no chemo, no radiation, and no cancer pills. Wants to see me in 6 months to recheck. Love, Janie Haney. So that's wonderful news. That chemotherapy is terrible stuff. And it sure does set a lot of people back. So we're glad that, of course, I think she'd already decided she wasn't going to have it. But it's wonderful that she doesn't need it. And we hope for the very best for Sister Janie. Brother Sister Mary Griffin. Most of you know that Sister Mary Griffin just lives a block down the street here. She's a member at Danville Church, but she came here occasionally. And of course, she's the sister, is the sister, Sister Louise Stanley, who was a member here. She had an automobile accident while Brother Clyde was in the hospital, and broke her pelvis and her arm, I believe, wasn't it? Three ribs. Yeah, her pelvis and three ribs, and her arm was mighty sore, but they said it wasn't broke. And she was seemingly doing very well, and she had a massive stroke while she was in the hospital, and was for all practical reasons, I guess, unconscious there for a good while, but she has recovered now and nods. She's got this oxygen pipe down her throat, so she can't talk, but she nods and recognizes things and is coming back some. So we want to remember her in our prayers. Sister Mary is a godly woman and a wonderful person, and we love her. Is there any other sickness that I need to make mention of? If not, let's sing number 45.
45.
Yeah, that's, you got one already?
Lord,
in thy prayer, may stand if you like.
Here I speak, may we in thee be found. Oh, make the place divinely sweet, and let thy grace abound. With harmony thy servants bless, that we may own to thee. How good, how sweet, how pleasant is when brethren all agree. May Zion's good be kept in you, and bless our feeble aim, that all we undertake to do may glorify thy name.
Bow with us. Our most kind and merciful Heavenly Father, it's again that we bow in thy presence, thanking thee, our Father, for thy blessed Son and our wonderful Savior, that in his merits and righteousness we might approach unto thee, to thy great throne of grace, that we might find grace to help in a time of need. We thank thee, our Father, for the tender mercies that we have received through our Lord Jesus, And we thank thee, dear Lord, for thy church and kingdom here in the world and the lot and the part that thou hast given each one of us here this day, that we might have a mind to bow down and to worship thee, to call upon thy great name. Thanking thee, dear Lord, for thy providential grace that has brought the gospel to our ears, that we might hear the good news from a far country, that thy Son, thine only begotten Son, has come into the world, and through him the forgiveness of sins is preached. And we thank thee, dear Lord, that we believe. Recalling, O Lord, that thou hast said, if any man glory, let him glory in this, that he understandeth and that he knoweth me, who am a God of mercy and grace and judgment, full of grace, full of mercy and understanding, long-suffering and full of compassion. Lord, how we desire to worship thee, to praise thy great and wonderful name. Lord, we ask with the leadership of thy unerring spirit, for we realize that within ourselves, as thou said, we can do nothing. We realize, our heavenly Father, that we have sinned and come short of thy glory, and we stand in need of a Savior and of thy grace and mercy to lead and guide us in the way of righteousness, that we might not sin against thee. Lord, we thank thee for thy precious word that thou hast given us, which we call the Bible, which has been inspired by the Holy Ghost, for men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and we have an infallible record of thy word. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you, dear Lord, for this great country that thou hast blessed above all countries in the world. We pray for her rulers and her leaders, from the courthouse to the White House. Lord, we pray that thou will give them a mind to be subject unto thy rules and laws, and that we might be subject one to another and live in decency and in peace here in this world. Lord, for those who would destroy us and destroy thy very name from the earth, Lord, we pray that thou would not grant our enemies to gain the victory over us, but give us the victory, Lord, for thy name's sake and cause's sake, we pray. Dear Lord, again, now we pray for the sick and afflicted, the aged and the infirm. Pray for Sister Mabel and her family that's lost her dear husband and a father. And dear Lord, we pray for the church here at Reedsville. Lord, we pray that thou would add to her daily such as should be saved. These and all mercies and blessings we ask in the precious name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. This morning we were thinking about the subject of light, and it led me to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. And most of you Bible readers know already what it says, but we want to read it and get the context. And with the Lord's help, we can make a few comments on the scriptures. But here, we'll just start at the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the first 14 verses of the Gospel of John. And we are told here, the Gospel of John is considerably different from the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew is particularly Jewish. Its theme is to show that Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary and the Son of God, was legally entitled to sit on the throne of Israel, that he was a descendant of David in the flesh. And that Gospel of Matthew is particularly Jewish in that sense, in that it shows and speaks of those things more than the other Gospels, showing that he was legally entitled to sit upon the throne of David. You know, David said that there would be a man that God would raise up to sit upon his throne forever. And Jesus Christ is that man. And the book of Matthew its theme is more so to that than the other three. Mark is a gospel that declares and shows forth that Jesus is God's perfect servant. He came to as a servant to carry out the will of God. He declared several different places that he came down from heaven not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent me, his heavenly Father. And Mark shows how he was faithful as a servant of God to carry out every jot and tittle of the law, to fulfill it in every way required of a faithful servant. Luke is often called the Gentile gospel. And it's portrays the perfect humanity of Christ. More so, it plays up his humanity, that he was the Son of God in all eternity. As we just read, he was God, was with God, and was God, and is God. But he became flesh and blood. He dwelt among us. And so Luke displays his humanity, that he was verily, verily man. Not half God and half man, but he was every whit of man and every whit God. And yet they had these two natures was in the one man, Jesus Christ. And John, the Gospel of John, shows forth his deity, that truly he is God. It emphasizes his deity more than the other Gospels, and that is a theme of the Gospel of John. It shows that he surely is God manifested in the flesh, and he is tabernacled with us here on this earth. So that's what John is displaying here. And he says that everything that was made by him, and there was nothing made but that was made by him. So the second person of the Trinity is said to be the agent by which the Godhead operated in creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, these three are one. They bear record in heaven. The water, the blood, and the Spirit, they bear record in the earth. Apostle John says in his first epistle. And so these Godhead is three persons, but it's one God. And the Godhead acted through the Word, the Son of God, as the agent by which all things were created. That's what John is telling us here. And he said, in him was life. And this life is a light of men. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. To me, this is one of the strongest statements that can be found anywhere in all human history that refutes evolution. If if we descended from animals, and all animals descended from a single cell life, then we would all be of the same equality in certain, in our roots, so to speak. But we are plainly told in the book of Genesis that God created the heavens and the earth, and each day he formed and fashioned the earth into its present condition. And if you want to make one day equal a million years, well, I'm not going to argue with you too much, because the scripture says one day is with 1,000 years with the Lord, and 1,000 years is a day. But the Lord says that each day he did this. And he let the waters bring forth the huge whales and the fishes and all of its species. And then he said he let the earth bring forth the cattle and the beasts of the forest and the creeping and crawling things of the earth. And it brought forth these things. They came forth from the earth. But then when he made man, he said, let us make man in our image. And the hour there shows from the very beginning of the creation that refers to it's the plurality of the Godhead. When he says, let us make man in our image, that shows that there was persons speaking with each other and covenanted with each other there. And so we have from the very beginning in the inspired word proof of the three persons in the Godhead. And they made man, and man was made in God's image. And there's been much speculation in what is meant by man is made in the image of God. And I've always thought of it as man is a tripart being, body, soul, and spirit, just as the Godhead is three persons. And that makes, to me, it comes about as close as anything I can think of that would associate us as being made in the image of God. And animals are said to have a soul in it. They have life, and they live and move. And but I don't think they have a spirit in the sense that they communicate with God. As I've heard it said, you can look at a cow or a horse or a dog or something, and they feed all the time. Feeding and reproduction is the main thing of their life, and everything they do is towards that end. And they'll graze all day long and never look up to see where it comes from. They have no knowledge, no consciousness, evidently, of that these things have been provided for their welfare and being. And they're just not what we would call immoral. They're not a moral being. They're not conscious of right and wrong, of a law that God has given. And so an animal is different from a man. Man, being made in the image of God, is conscious of God. Adam knew God. Adam conversed with God. Adam feared God. Adam was over all the other animals of the earth. They were subject to him. And he was a higher order of being. And there's as much difference in a man and an ape as there is in a man and an angel. And to try to put us on the order of animals and descending from them is very degrading, in my opinion. Yet we are neglecting to glorify God for his wisdom and for his power and for his knowledge, and all that he has displayed in making man in his image. You just think of the insult of that, beloved, that a man made in the image of God to stand up and deny that and claim that he's made after an ape. And it looks to me like that's a great insult to your creator and maker. And yet, that's what the world is teaching now. Yes.